Good morning and happy new year. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank on Wednesday, the 1st of January, 2025, with the Hat Wednesday podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Coming up on the news today, Eric Pfeiffer and Gary Truitt. Remembering President Carter on the peanut farm where it started, and learn about a truck built just for farmers. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has a lion of a forecast for the start of the year, and the grain and oilseed markets ended the year with a solid move higher. Arlen Suderman has grain market analysis. It's on the Hoosier Ag Today New Year's Day podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
From the peanut farm to the White House, and a truck for farmers, by farmers. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Former President Jimmy Carter died Sunday. He was 100 years old. Our country's 39th president, Carter started his long and storied life as a farm boy on his daddy's peanut farm in Georgia.
The barn was the center of our attention on the farm because all of our work was focused there.
James Earl Buddy Carter Jr., the eldest of four children, was born October 1st, 1924 in Plains, Georgia. The late president fondly remembered his boyhood days on the farm in his audio memoirs preserved by the Plains Historical Preservation Trust.
We caught the mules and horses early in the morning, took them to the field, hooked to wagons and plows. That's where we brought them back at night for feed and for watering.
Jimmy Carter was one of just seven modern-day farmer presidents, and 16 in total. He rose through the ranks to become a U.S. naval officer, Georgia governor, and the first president from the Deep South since 1837. But he never forgot his humble beginnings.
When Daddy thrashed oats and wheat, we had a threshing machine just behind the barn, and we would have a big pile of loose hay. We used to get a running start in the loft of the barn and leap out of the window and land on the soft pile of hay.
Carter ran that farm after his father died in 1953 and went on to become a successful agribusinessman, politician, and later a Nobel Prize-winning humanitarian. While not always seen as a friend of farmers, as during his grain embargo of the Soviet Union, President Jimmy Carter will always be remembered as the humble peanut farmer from Georgia. If a new truck for the farm is in your plans for 2025, now you can get one that's been designed by farmers. Gary Truitt has more.
It's called the Ag Wagon, and as Pat Driscoll explains, it's a truck built especially for farmers.
14 farmers and ranchers collaborated with engineers from Fox Factory, who's doing the manufacturing on this truck for us, for almost a year. And through that, those engineers found out what farmers and ranchers needed from their truck.
From these farmer recommendations, a base model was designed, and from that, farmers can customize each vehicle to meet their operations' specific needs.
Now we've got a truck out there, Gary, that has a customized agriculture suspension in it, has agricultural-type lighting because the work doesn't stop at dark. It's got two-way radio systems built into it with programmable radio, so you can program it to your farm's two-way radio system. There's so many pieces of this truck that you won't find anywhere else. It is truly an agriculture truck with tractor-like capabilities. There are upgrades from that base Ag Wagon, so you can customize it to its purpose and your specific operation, or if you have more than one Ag Wagon, you can have each one of them built a little different for different purposes.
Driscoll says major truck manufacturers are getting behind the program, with production of Ford Ag Wagons currently underway.
We'll be able to go to production with Rams in January, and then it'll be in Q2 before we can get to the General Motors products, but that's coming.
Certified Ag dealers are the only dealers authorized to sell the Ag Wagon. For a list of certified Ag dealers in your area, go to agwagon.com. I'm Gary Truitt.
All right, Gary, thanks. And not just for the story, but for creating Hoosier Ag Today. When you created this back in 2006, man, who knew we'd still be here in 2025? And that's thanks to you, the listener, for once again making us the most listened to farm radio network in Indiana. Thank you very much, and have a very happy new year from all of us at Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's farm network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Happy New Year, everyone. 2025 coming in, well, I would say like a lion, because we've got a massive change in cold air. I know. It's March. That's either a lion or a lamb. But hey, I can do what I want. I'm the weather guy. If I want to say 2025 is coming in like a lion, I can do that. But I think we're looking at some significant weather that tries to come together here over the course of the next few days. We are going to be looking at cold air dominating the discussion between now and the weekend. In the cold air, maybe we see a little bit of lake effect that we have to work through. Maybe. But I think the bigger story is going to be what happens late in the weekend when we put together another weather system that wants to make its way into the U.S., the central U.S., and the eastern Corn Belt. But before we get there, let's kind of back things up. What's going on for the balance of your New Year's Day? Honestly, not much, especially when compared to what we saw yesterday with plenty of moisture around through your New Year's Eve. So for today, I think clouds are going to try and break up, especially later this afternoon into this evening. There is some lake effect that's going to be around for this morning and midday. Better lake effect chances up in Michigan than northern Indiana, but I do think if you're in those northern tier counties, the suspect areas, if you will, you have to keep an eye out for lake effect snow, and clouds will be coming off the Great Lakes for a large part of the rest of the state. We clear out a little bit more overnight tonight, and high pressure does try and work in. It's an Arctic high. It's a Canadian high, so it is chilly, but I think we see some sunshine through tomorrow, at least morning and midday. Clouds increasing afternoon and evening. Overnight, I think we have to deal with a few flurries trying to come through. This isn't really a clipper system. It's not really a system at all, but the moisture is holding together all the way back from southeastern South Dakota, Nebraska, through Iowa, Illinois, and showing up here as we move through Friday early morning. By the time we get to mid-morning, it's done off to the east, and we get clouds and Saturday is fully dry with high pressure in control. Cold high pressure, but high pressure nonetheless. And then the second part of the weekend really gets interesting. Low pressure digs into the Texas and Oklahoma Panhandle areas on Saturday night, early Sunday morning. That taps into Gulf of Mexico moisture that pulls up, and we see rain and some snow, but mostly rain expand rapidly across Kansas, Missouri, and southern Illinois through the day on Sunday, getting into southwest Indiana Sunday midday and afternoon. Then as we move forward, the low is going to try and move east and northeast, and here's where it gets tricky, because the track of the low will make all the difference as to whether you see rain or snow, a changeover, or nothing. And that's where we still find ourselves here for the weekend. Low pressure tracks have been running all the way from the Tennessee Valley up to across central to northern parts of Indiana and into northwest Ohio. Currently, I've seen more tracks that have come together over the last 3 to 4 days favoring a southern run. And so that's where it gets interesting in Indiana, because that means most of Indiana may end up being snow. Definitely looking at rain changing to snow in southern Indiana as we move through the overnight. But does that low get far enough north that we see any precipitation at all in northern parts of the state? That's the wild card. So I think we have to keep the door open still for rain and snow and maybe nothing over the state from Sunday midday, Sunday late morning to midday, all the way through Monday midday. And if the track drifts a little bit farther north, more of the state sees precipitation, but we also see better chances of rain in southern Indiana. Somebody's going to get some accumulating snow, all right? But it's not going to be everyone. And I also put it to you this way. There are plenty of other other social media outlets and other folks that have put out maps that are just absolutely crazy. Huge amounts of snow. Do not buy into the hype. It is New Year's Day. It is Wednesday, and we're talking about a system coming Sunday night into Monday. Nobody has a clue yet what's going on, and if anybody tells you otherwise, they're fooling themselves. They're trying to fool you. We will give you the updates here as we move farther along. In any case, that system, whether it hits us with rain, snow, both, neither, it is going to bring down a reinforcing shot of cold Arctic air, and that's what sits here through the rest of next week. I think from Monday afternoon through next Friday, maybe Saturday, even Sunday, we go dry. No precipitation at all. What we've gotten here recently is going to have to tide us over. We are dry, we are cold, and temperatures finally start to ease maybe as we get into early the week of the 13th, but it's only going to be a brief moderating push. Cold air looks to reassert itself as we head toward the Fort Wayne Farm Show. That's the way your forecast is stacking up again. Happy New Year. It's a long one, I know, but hey, you've got nothing else to do. Listen to this podcast. I'm Ryan Martin.
Well, we've survived another year, another growing season, another election cycle, and plenty of market volatility. All of us at Hoosier Ag Today are proud that we've been able to keep you informed of the latest farm news, markets, and weather developments in 2024, and honored that once again you have made us the most listened to farm network in the state. On air and online, and ready for 2025, we are Hoosier Ag Today.
A higher move to end the year. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday, December 31st market review, and the markets did go higher. We'll have the final settlements coming up. First, I checked in with Arlen Suderman at Stone X for market commentary. I spoke with Arlen at the end of the trading session. Arlen, a move higher to end the year, and especially impressive in soybean futures. Also, corn better than a nickel move to the plus side. Were you a bit surprised by the strength as we ended 2024?
Really not surprised by anything in this type of end of the month, end of the fiscal quarter, end of the fiscal year, light holiday trade volume. And so you get this type of erratic trade movement. And you know, from a farmer standpoint, it's positive. We like it. We like to see green on the screen. We just don't know how much to make of it until we get into next week and we get normal trade volume and normal trading conditions to really test it out. From a technical standpoint, it was positive for the charts. Fundamentally, we're focused on dryness in South America and the southern 20% of Brazil and about a quarter of Argentina that will likely expand to about 40% under stress here over the first half of January. Don't know that that really threatens our supply yet at this point, but the market uses that as an excuse to do what it's going to do and add some risk premium in.
The tailwinds, especially for soybeans, you touched on South American weather. Also, meal and oil strong, so I assume those were helpful to moving the bean market higher?
Yeah, they certainly were. And when you look at everything, you look at the fact that the dollar was at put in new two-year highs to close out the year, which should create some headwinds. It just looked to me like money flow wanted to own the commodities here on the last trading day of the year. The grain and oilseed sector had lost somewhere between 15 and 16%. We'll see how the final numbers come out on the year. And that was even with corn coming up and rallying about 27% off of their August lows. Still, the grain and oilseed sector was that deep in the red. The only commodity sector that was in the red over the past year. And so it is like the fund said, okay, maybe it's undervalued. Let's finish off the year with some buying here and kind of pre-positioning for the index fund rebalancing that'll start next week.
Corn futures on the March, roughly 458 to end the year. Beans on the January, just under $10. So are those wins, considering where we dipped to and have come from?
Yeah, we've still got to reestablish that bean market above $10. Now, the January contract will soon be going off the board. The March contract is back above $10, just as the November was, and then the January quickly dropped below it. So we'll have to see how that holds up with the approaching harvest in Brazil. Corn, I think, is a little bit more confidence there in the move, getting established above the 450 level. We did see a significant upturn in farmer selling when that happened, but the funds were able to defend their positions through that farmer selling. We would anticipate more farmer selling somewhere probably around the 475 area, particularly as we go into the new tax year. But thus far, the funds are defending their ownership of corn and holding things up.
Arlen Suderman, StoneX, we sure appreciate the opportunity to speak with you each week in 2024. Look forward to it again in 25 as well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and to all of our listeners.
Market analyst Arlen Suderman of StoneX, chief commodities economist there. Now, the Tuesday settlements, which wrapped up 2024. March corn goes up 6 1/4, 458.5. May 465 3/4, up 1 3/4. July up 1.5, 468 3/4. Up 16 1/4 on the January beans, 998 1/4. March contract 1010.5, a gain of 18 3/4. And the highest contract on the day, May beans, 1022 1/4, gaining 19 1/4. Chicago wheat higher too. March 551.5, up 3 1/4. Meats were mixed. February live cattle, $1.30 higher, 191.60. And February lean hogs, 81.30, down 32 cents. I'm Andy Eubank, and on behalf of all of us at Hoosier Ag Today, including Eric Pfeiffer, Gary Truitt, C.J. Miller, Sabrina Halverson, Molly Nichols, and of course the Chief, Ryan Martin, Chief Meteorologist, we hope you have a great New Year's Day and an even better 2025.